All that fire. This has been a day of prophecy. First Mary, then Mary.
Let me hold up. Pastor, can I say something right quick? Because I need to get this out to y'all. God checked my spirit on this. When Sister Betty was crying out, I was listening to that. I said, we're going to do one and then we go into another book. But when I got home and got quiet, talked to this Mary, I got quiet, God spoke to my heart. He said, no, you're not. You're going to do it 3 more months. You're going to stay in this book 3 more months. I'm like, Lord, I gave the book to him. All they got to do is read it and get the revelation themselves. He said, no. I said, okay, you the head. I'm the body. Whatever you say, here am I.
Yeah.
So we're going to be in this book 3 more months. We're going to kind of take it like chapter by chapter. And we're going to get what God.
Will you tell us what parts you want us to read next time? Will you tell us the parts you want us to read for next time? Or you don't know
Read yet? The first and the second.
First and second chapter?
Read the whole book.
Yeah.
But we'll be dealing with first and second chapter probably. It's going to be September the 15th. Still going to be once a month. September the 15th. Because he said the urgency of this. See, he placed the urgency on it. I just thought it's a book that we could read. You know, I know he wanted us to get it, but I'm just thinking, you know, they got it, God. They done read it a month.
You don't have it.
It's a lot in it.
That should be required reading.
And you forget what you read. So
you it should be a requirement for every saint to read.
But I got to go back and reread it.
I'm ready.
But when will we meet? September the 15th at 9:15. Y'all please, y'all do me like Elijah did Elijah. Don't have me to have to tell y'all every 5 minutes how to put up 50 things to get you to come September the 15th. Put it in your phone. Treat it like something special. And don't let nothing steal that day. September the 15th. Okay, go ahead, apostles.
All right, well, here we go. What the Lord put on my heart last week, I talked about dying to your you know, people.
Apostle, this is wide open here. Yeah. Blow your trumpet.
We use the phrase "die to self." Sometimes our will can be set and strong. Our will has its own voice. Our patterns of doing things, our habit system. When we take in the Word of God becomes a louder voice. It can become a louder voice. The way we see God, if we take in enough of His Word, we have a greater visual of Him. Jesus said, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light, His light. The life and love of God. When this process happens, we become something that the enemy can't contend with, cannot contend with. John pointed out, when you love God, those that are born of God, they can't sin. You fill your heart with His. That's how you win this world. In this world, you win by receiving God's word in your heart. And what's in your heart comes out.
Yes.
Whatever's in your heart comes out of the mouth. The enemy tries to plant dark seeds in the heart. So it'll come out of your mouth and it gets in your action, your habit system, your advice, your counsel, until you're no good for God's purpose. The precious of life. When the word of God is bigger than the precious of life, you win. You have the faith for whatever you need. You can make the certain changes that need to be made. It's easy. A healthy intake of the Word of God helps us to do all these things.
It's good, a healthy intake of the Word of God.
A healthy intake. When you're breathing and taking in, consuming the Word of God in you, it comes out of your mouth. Sometimes you're not the challenges that are out there. When you follow God, whatever your greatest challenge is, he'll prepare you for it if you pay attention to him. There have been times when the Lord give me a message. I can quickly agree with it, and then the word of the Lord does come to me with a teaching. He'll teach me things so that I'll be ready for what's ahead, or whatever he wants, my next assignment, or whatever he wants me to do. When he speaks in repetition, he's filling my heart with his word so I can be stable. I've done everything since, you know, sometimes if I doubted God, he don't speak. As long as I'm in faith, he'll speak. As long as I'm believing him for something and I'm staying in faith about it, I'm not giving up. He gives me clues and he helps me build that faith. He speaks. But if he tells me to do something and I'm reluctant and don't do it, he'll stop talking. And one time he gave me a message. He had told me to do something I, for whatever reason, didn't do and forgot about it. And he wasn't talking no more. And I said, Lord, what's going on? And he reminded me of what he told me to do. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I forgot all about it. I said, I repented. And then I went back and started working on what he told me to do. And then he started talking. And then he gave me a message about that to help other people. It was called backtracking to success. When God stops talking and interacting, go back and find the problem, regain that peace, and continue to walk with him. Now, Daniel said something. He said, they that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. He used the word, they that know God, they were like Job. He didn't say, they that are redeemed. He didn't say, they that trust God. He didn't say, they that have faith in him or have the ability to believe him for things. He said, they that do know the Lord will be strong and do exploit. If you know God, you've got all those things. You're saved.
Yes,
you're in agreement. You're in faith. But you know him. So when you're challenged, you know him. You can't be deceived when you know him. Getting to know God and who he is very important. All the things that Mary was talking about, the faith of Elijah and Elisha that wouldn't give up, that determined love and faith that Elisha had and Elijah had, that comes from knowing God. Anybody can know him. Follow the peace.
The very next thing he did, adding to what you're saying, mm-hmm. The very next thing he did, he was in Jericho, and he cured a curse that Joshua had put on there when Joshua conquered Jericho.
Yeah.
Joshua cursed it. You couldn't grow nothing there. Kids were dying. The water was spoiled. Everything was happening. He cured it.
Uh-huh.
The very first thing. You know, I believe, man, we can do that too. Right?
We can do all of that and
for
more.
People, not just their own lives.
Yeah.
I'm seeing that in a new light.
Mm-hmm. Knowing God is your security. Jesus said, the best message on prosperity is the few things that Jesus said. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Now, this is your safety zone. When you experience any form of success, even good success, the enemy couldn't stop it. But he'll try to get you to look at the success and stop looking at God. He'll try to get your mind off God and back onto what you can see, feel, taste, and hear. Even though they're good things, if you seek those things, if your attention's on the raise or the money or the people you blessed, a miracle happening, your attention can get on that and off of God, and eventually you get off on a tangent and start having problems. But when you continually seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, when you seek first the kingdom of God, you get a vision, you get a visual, you get to see more of him. Your vision increases and multiplies, and it causes all forms of success. You have vision. And when you seek his righteousness, you have foundation. You can't be destroyed, pushed over, taken down, removed, replaced with something else. You stay stable. When you have his...
When your eye, like one of your favorite scriptures, I've heard you say it a lot of times, when your eye's focused on one, that's a lot. So when you keep that eye focused on God,
uh-huh.
All that other stuff's added, like you were saying.
Yeah.
You have to keep it focused on God.
Yeah.
And because that's when you want to watch too much television. Or shot things you don't need.
When your focus is
on. Back to simple things.
Yeah, when your focus is steadily on Him, no matter what happens out here. See, success can be a weapon, just like disaster. If anything changes your focus, you change with it. If you change, your advice changes. What's in your heart, what you gravitate to, changes.
Abraham's a perfect example of keeping his light on God.
You have to.
I mean, he had all the power and all the land and the promises and everything, but he always stayed.
You have to look at Him.
But David took his eyes off for a little while.
Everybody did eventually, except Jesus. Abraham agreed to have a son besides Sarah.
Yes, true.
Besides Sarah being the mother, to help God out. God don't need your help.
He kept that eye focused, he would have done.
The priest didn't wear wool. They didn't wear anything that causes sweat. God don't need you to think. He needs you to obey.
Ooh, that's good. Say that again, Thurston.
He don't need you to think. If you're thinking, you're working. He needs you to obey.
You don't reason, God.
When let God handle His part. Don't handle God's part.
Oh, glory.
If you handle His part, you're sweating. He don't want you to do that.
Let God handle His part.
Let the ark fall off the wagon. The ark can take a fall. Let the ark fall off the wagon. Don't catch the ark.
Oh, that's good, Thurston.
Let it fall on the ground. The man that caught the ark died. He was working.
He wasn't holy enough to touch it.
And he wasn't supposed to.
They wasn't carrying it right anyway.
No, the priest was supposed to do it. Leave it in the middle of the road and let the priest come get it.
What they did, they was carrying it like the world. The world brought it in on a cart and carried it, and they got away with it. None of them got. They got away with it until they put it inside the.
Well, it caused a lot of problems.
But they got away with it. And see, we look at what the world got away with, and then we go try. So they're going to carry it just like the world. And David got so mad at God. God, you killed the man. Do you know what you did? He got real angry at God. He said, but hold up, I better seek him to see how he want that carry. Yeah. And he saw him. He said, we were carrying it wrong. That wasn't the way it was supposed to be handled. Like we saw the world handle it that way. And we just decided we handled it that way.
When we follow God, He takes us from where we are to where He needs us to be. When the will of man is too strong,
Jesus.
You can't follow God. You just can't.
Jesus.
Either you're going to follow Him or you're not.
Jesus.
The will has something has to be done about it. Most people use fasting. Fasting weakens the will, but it don't teach you anything. Prayer helps.
Fasting and praying.
Receiving God's word does better than all of that, because you're receiving Him. If you don't have a visual of Him, you can't go with Him to the next step. I want to explain three things, Mary.
We're going to come back next time. Y'all are so green.
We want the three things. I said what I want.
Okay. Since we got to this point.
You know, I'm used to you.
Wherever you are, God can use you.
Yes.
When you take on His nature, His word, when you receive Him, your eyes on Him, all the things that will stop you, challenge you, He'll deal with it. Mm-hmm. He'll prepare you, train you. Training has to happen. Mm-hmm. If you study the word of God, nobody did anything for God until He trained them. Mm-hmm. When they went through a training process, be patient in the training process. Don't rush it. Because you're going to wish you didn't if you do. If you're trained, you won't get out of balance. You're less likely to get off on a tangent. And to help us with that, God has others to keep us balanced. He thinks of everything. When people rush the training process, they don't finish God's work. You got to finish. If you finish, people are going to live. If you don't, people are going to die and go to hell. This is how important it is. But God loves you more than your mission.
That's good.
This is very important to understand. If he put his anointing on you and you go out there and do an awesome work, your eyes can get on the work and off of God.
Come on now. No,
and then you change. And you have the anointing. And when you get off track, other people are going to get off track. And that's going to put spiritual debt on your life. If you start something, finish it. Don't stop. If you stop in people's sight, they'll stop too. They don't know any better.
The spirit of
whatever completion. whatever the work that he started in you, make sure you finish it.
The spirit of completion.
You can't go by how things look.
Right.
Some people never grow out of, they're wonderful, they love God, they have faith, they have the anointing, but they never grow out of the need to look at things. They depend on things to be a certain way. You can't depend on nothing you see, hear, taste, smell, or touch. You have to look at him. If you can do this, you can complete the mission. The dangers, the will to contend for the faith. If you want it, you have to want what God has, like Elisha did.
That's it. Stay focused.
You have to stick with it. If you look at him, you'll have the vision you need. It's in him. And you have to seek also his righteousness. Without righteousness, the enemy's going to get in there. If you love the world somewhere, you have to kill your tastes and desire for the world.
Yes.
If that demon gets in your heart,
Jesus,
with his thoughts, it'll change you. And the people that follow you that don't know any better will fall. This is so serious. Jesus said he had to shorten the time because the darkness will cover the earth. Isaiah prophesied that the darkness will cover the earth. And along with all this, there are tares among the wheat to make sure that darkness covers the earth. The Lord got me talking about on the radio the real Jesus. There is a denominational Jesus. There is opinionated, the opinions of man. People present Jesus the way they like him. But the real Jesus is here. The word of God reveals the real Jesus.
That's good.
The real Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
The phony Jesus is not coming back ever. The real Jesus is coming back. There's a false grace Jesus. He don't talk about hell. He don't warn people about hell. You have to have faith about hell, because you have to have God's knowledge of hell. You have to have faith that it exists. It's needful. Jesus talked to, whatever Jesus talked about, it's important. And now people say, well, since there's no hell, I just kind of do this and that. And they get into sin. Mm-hmm. Hell is like a nuclear weapon. It's a deterrent. We build nuclear weapons so the other countries will think before they act. Hell is there to stop sin, because this God's going to do away with it. That's the first reason it's there. It's going to be there. It's not going anywhere. And it's a deterrent. The real Jesus covers every spectrum.
Amen.
People who get to know him do the same thing. People who are following him will grow no matter what, because they know him. They have faith, they progress, and they know him. They get
Jesus.
To know him. So when false things appear, if you have a healthy intake of the word, your eyes are on him, you'll know a lie when it sounds good. Everything sounds good. From a certain point of view. With a little deception, it's all right. It seems good. The false presentations of Jesus sound good to the people that believe. They think they're all right. They're going to be, when the rapture comes, those that are in Christ will be gone. Those that think they're in Christ may not. Those that are in debauchery will be in debauchery. And when in his presence, you'll know it. When the presence of God comes around, everything that's false, it starts to crumble. It makes people feel uncomfortable. They see themselves. When you walk in the door, you're full of the Holy Ghost. People, they can see where things are wrong. When you preach the word as it's written, people can make judgments. When you study the word, it's like a mirror. You say, oh, I need to change something. Sometimes I study the word, I say, I gotta I need strength right there. I said, and I pray for it. I confess it. Because if you're seeking righteousness, you're seeking his righteousness, you have a foundation. God can build on it.
Come on now.
Don't outrun the anointing. Stay where God places you. That's where you're safe.
If you outrun it, you're kind of in the flesh, aren't you?
Yeah, you're working.
Like Elijah,
you are in the flesh.
He's not running in the flesh.
You're anointed to do what God has trained you to do and what he's graced you to do. You can't do what another anointed person can do. But that's all right. I don't want to do your job. I want to do my job. I want you to do your job. I thank God for pastor. I don't have to pastor this church. I don't want to.
Ooh, all those spirits.
I want to do, God put a love for what I do. God gave him a love for what he do.
He didn't want to do it at first until God put the love in.
Yeah, with the love of God, that's where your desire comes from. That's where the vision. And when you seek his righteousness, you have the foundation. So because of all this, I highlighted what she wrote. Now I close with this. She said, as I watched, I saw a church without walls. An awesome divine power was flowing down through the pulpits, out to the people. Mm-hmm. And I thought the T was an R. Out to the people, and then through them to the world. Above this power plant, I saw Christ, the head of the church, holding that gigantic power plant in his hands.
All right, move of God.
At the same time, however, it seemed as though he were the one being poured through that power plant down into the church and out to the world, a great harvest field, golden and ripe unto harvest.
Okay, let's cut it off. I know it's getting good, cut that off.
He said, this was the point I was getting to.
Okay, go on to your point.
He said, somehow I understood that he was following his living water. He was flowing this living water only to the churches where deep wells and reservations had been dug. Mm-hmm. People that want more.
Yeah, like people Elijah. That was thirsty and hungry.
Within many churches, even denominational churches, there are people out there that go deep, that love God. Now the Holy Spirit, no matter how people have been trained wrong, the Holy Spirit can get the word to them. He said, in the vision, I saw the pipes being placed underground from one fountainhead to another. From church to church, the pipes formed a network of churches connecting those with deep wells that he had dug and filled with the living water, the living word. The Lord, that's why I say the Lord is moving by his spirit. He's doing things people don't see. If you depend on what you see, you're not going to finish. You got to look at him.
Yeah, that was Peter problem. He was a great fisherman, and God told him, let down your net on. And he said, no. He said, I've been fishing all night, Lord. I'm a fisherman by trade. This is what I do. This is my job. This is what I do. Mm-hmm. He said, but nevertheless, because I've seen so much greatness from you, I'll put it.
Years ago, the Lord taught me about operatives, people mm-hmm. who love him. They go deep. They don't stop when things look bad. Mm-hmm. And the tares are talking. Mm-hmm. Denomination is talking. Mm-hmm. False doctrines are talking. But those that do know the Lord, they stick with him. And they overcome. Mm-hmm. And they grow from glory to glory. To the point that when God gets ready to act, to pull that switch, he activates them. That's why many that are first will be last. Many that are last will be first. Many people are in the front doing whatever they do. Not all the people that are first will be last, but there are many that are first will be last. The Lord controls it by the anointing. If he gives you the anointing, you don't need recognition when you're anointed.
That's good.
You got to look at him. If you look at him and you're anointed, God will tell you what to do strategically. And it's a network that it works with other people that are doing the same thing.
In other words, when you see something great, there's many people behind it God's used.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer, intercession, or raising that person. Mm-hmm. So it all works together as one body.
Yeah.
You might see this glorious thing happen. Mm-hmm. Like Pastor Jim's, you know, God's taken care of this church, and he's done a lot. Mm-hmm. But everybody that's ever crossed this path has a ministry to help this church.
And they get the same reward as him. See, in heaven, if you get rid of pride, lust, and greed, you can do anything.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
To read some scriptures that go right in with what you're saying. Be imitators of God in everything that you do, for then you will represent your Father as his beloved sons and daughters. Your mission is to live as children flooded with his revelation light. Mm-hmm. And the supernatural fruits of his light will be seen in you.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Then you will learn to choose what is beautiful. Mm-hmm. To our Lord.
Yeah.
Whatever the revelation light exposes, it will also correct. Oh, and Lord. Everything that reveals truth is light to the soul.
That's right.
What exposes is correct.
That's good. In Ephesians 5.
Ephesians 5.
The first one was Ephesians 5:1.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ephesians 5:8. And then Ephesians 5:13. This is the Passion Translation.
You know, along the way, as the Lord trained me, he helped me make adjustments. I thank God for every adjustment he helped me make. Some of them involved visions. He gave me a visual. He showed me what was going on. Then when I was doing whatever he gave me to do, I was able to stand because I knew him in that area. Now, I'm not sanctioned to do everything. Nobody is, but we can do our part that plays it. It doesn't matter who don't do it. Sometimes the people you look to may not. They may change. They may go on a tangent. People do that. But if you stick with him, he'll give you wisdom and knowledge and show you what's happening. Sometimes you'll help people get back on the straight and narrow path. Never underestimate what God can do in your life. Brother Harden helped me see that what you put in God's hand, he'll multiply it and give it back to you. Just like money. Just like anything. When you sow the word of God, he give you more revelation. And then he'll help you reach other people. And never underestimate him. You're gonna love it. Mm-hmm.
And it made him very angry.
You know, some of the adjustments is not to limit him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Don't let your will be too strong. Your will, govern it with the word of God by saying what Charles Capps confessed, I love God's will.
Amen.
I will do all that's in his heart.
God.
I will speak his word.
Amen.
And I won't work. I won't speak my word. I speak his word.
All right then.
And just when you this, your anointing is a grace, a gift.
That goes back to what Ray did this
morning. Mm-hmm. Jesus gave you something so you can help others. So you can do anything he did, you can do. He spent
time. That draws me into salvation.
Yes. Yeah.
See, and that is our actual purpose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He taught me that people have to have stability before he can anoint them to do greater things, because people eat soup. Whatever you do is good. They don't know. But when you do it God's way, they will quickly adapt. And not only will they quickly adapt, they'll be able to, you become their vision. We bear fruit after our type, after our kind. Your strength, your foundation becomes their vision, and they do it. They see the rewards of it. They see the blessings of it, and they quickly adapt. They don't have to go through the training you did because they saw you do it. God has trained them, and they will outrun you.
Amen. That's right.
A healthy ministry always propels people for a healthy, wise parents, their children come out running faster. Because they gave their children vision. Jesus said, greater works than these will you do. because you believe. Okay, we'll stop there. any comments, questions? I'm enjoying it.
How many pastors has this church produced and ministers of the gospel?
That's good.
A lot.
That's good.
Just think about that for a minute. I've never been to a church that have produced maybe one. That's it. You know, I've never been to a church that produced many.
Yeah.
There's many. I've met several of them. And many.
Yeah.
I don't know how many. A bunch.
And they're producing.
That's saying something.
You produce.
You think about it.
Whoa. That's good.
Whirlwinds always throw off things.
That's good stuff.
I love Holy Ghost and that.